Just like a light gonna shine. Happiness ain't a crime. Don't let your dreams slip away.
Oh no, no.
Baby, now is your time.
Fix your crown, gonna shine.
Just like a light gonna shine.
Happiness ain't a crime.
Don't let your dreams slip away.
Oh no, no.
Baby, now is your time.
Fix your crown, gonna shine.
Try to use my God's gift by any means without sacrificing who I truly am. Cause when that pain hit, I rhyme different. But when I let that pain go, I start to shine different. I won't ever switch up, got many reservations, hesitations, a conversation, avoid annihilation. Had dreams to rule the nation, the greatest creation was me. Let them heavens be, I'm the one these cats wanna be. If we were made in his image, then call us by our names. I'm a god, we are not the same, I cannot relate. Tell them get on my level, I'm a rebel, but we're the cause. Got a shovel for the devils who won't let the power of laws be. See, I'm the truth, if you think otherwise, you a fool. I got a scar on my chest, I got proof. Could've been dead and in jail, but instead I rebelled. And so I made it out of hell, I shall prevail.
Just like a light gonna shine.
Happiness ain't a crime.
Don't let your dreams slip away.
Oh no,
yeah. Baby, now is your time.
Fix your crown, gonna shine.
Just like a light gonna shine.
Happiness ain't a crime.
Don't let your dreams slip away.
Oh no,
yeah. Baby, now is your time.
Fix your crown, gonna shine.
I refuse to dim my light, I'ma shine bright. My whole life I had to fight just to get my mind right. My back against the wall, got the weight of the world on my shoulders. Will I hold or will I fall? See, every situation you get a chance to be a victim or a victor. You better seek help, get you a mentor. You better dig deep, deep to the core. Remember that this battle in life is not yours, it's the Lord's. Having conversations with God because he let me beat the odds. I trust him, see that's my ride or die. And we don't do no negative thoughts, no bad energy around his way. It's all positive vibes. I had to question myself if I was ready for help. But then I prayed and God was like, hey, let me show you what's next. I hit a Dre like, Dre, please won't you send me your best. He like, bet we gon' get us a check.
Just
we
like a light
shine.
Gonna shine.
Just like a light gonna shine.
Happiness ain't a crime.
Happiness ain't a crime.
Don't let your dreams slip away.
Oh no, oh, no.
Baby, now is your time.
Fix your crown, gonna shine.
Just like a light gonna shine. Happiness ain't a crime.
Happiness ain't a crime.
Don't let your dreams slip away.
Oh no, yeah.
Baby, now is your time.
Fix your crown, gonna shine.
Your waves are similar to the rays of the sun. Warm too many, but too strong for some. The more you are needed, the brighter you shine. Wanted for too long and your brilliance will bind. The eyes of mortal men will threaten you with doom. The regret to see you set, but it is time for the moon. Strength is overcome by weakness. Joy is overcome by pain. The night is overcome by brightness. And love, it remains the same. Tupac Shakur, the sun and the moon. I see you shining. Don't dim your light for nobody. Peace, God.
1017 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct at the award-winning 1017 The Truth at the beautiful American Family Insurance Studio in the heart of downtown Milwaukee. And if you are just now tuning in, before I hopped on, Homer kept telling me and Z that we got to play some jazzy music. I have not rapped in so many years. However, that song is something that was very special to me. Shout out to Business Boy, Grammy Award winning Business Boy, Milwaukee's own Business Boy, and Mikey V. I actually created that song during my breast cancer recovery while I was in the Mayan ruins in Tulum. And that is my daily affirmation for today, to shine despite of whatever it is that you're dealing with, despite of the weight of the world being on your shoulders, whatever it is that you are going through, shine through it. That's what we were made for. Again, Happy Thursday, Milwaukee. You are officially tapped in. Today, I want you to listen with your thinking caps because we have several national and local conversations that deserve more than a headline and a hot take. Before I jump into what we're talking about today, I just want to highlight that right now, apparently, Trump has declared national emergency to lock foreign equipment out of the U.S. power grid. So on August 26th, yesterday, President Trump signed an executive order declaring a national emergency over the security of the U.S. bulk power system. The legal authority, the International Emergency Economic Powers Act and the National Emergencies Act, the practical effect, federal power to block or condition purchases of foreign produced grid equipment, software, and firmware that pose cybersecurity or operational risk. This isn't a policy memo, it's enforcement. And this is according to Yahoo News, what the order actually does. So the order bars or conditions transactions involving foreign produced bulk power equipment where risk includes sabotage, unauthorized access, malicious remote action, or in the White House own words, catastrophic effects on critical infrastructure. The scope covers examples such as transformers and control systems, along with associated software, firmware, and digital capabilities tied to covered foreign entities. Though the full definition of bulk power system equipment in the order is broader than any short list can capture, local electricity distribution facilities are excluded. But if your utility operates transmission infrastructure, and virtually every major operator does, compliance questions just landed on your team's desk. So, this is something that we're gonna have to break down a little bit more. I just seen this literally as I was heading into the station. It popped up on my news feed. And yeah, we got to talk about that. Probably not today because I want to dig into it a little bit more so that I can fully understand what this means for the people here in America and how this affects us. I know as soon as we see power grid, we automatically think that it's pertaining to our electricity, right? But obviously, there's so much more that goes into the U.S. power grid. So we're going to have to take time to discuss that. But at 5 o'clock, we are going into our main subject for today. And I want the parents, if you are listening, even if you aren't a parent, I need you guys to call in today so we can have this conversation. Should schools notify parents before formally teaching students about nine binary identities and gender-related pronouns? I am not using that hour to attack anybody, and I am not using it to campaign for anybody either. I want facts, stats, history, parental rights, educational responsibility, and enough nuance for grown people to disagree without disrespecting each other. So we're going to talk about that at 5 o'clock. Before we get to five, I want to establish the theme underneath today's news, right? Accountability. We give institutions an enormous amount of authority. Police departments have technology ordinary citizens don't have, and that's obvious. Schools get to make decisions involving children for 6 or 7 hours a day. Technology companies have sophisticated systems designed to hold our attention. So the question I want to follow through this first hour is simple. When somebody has power, information, or influence over your life, what transparency should come with that power? The crazy thing about it is we all know how the government in America works, right? We've asked for transparency numerous of time, but obviously when it comes to government and media, they tend to tell the world whatever it is that they want to tell us, right? When we should be panicking, they make it seem like we shouldn't. And when we shouldn't be panicking, they make it seem like we should be, right? So we never know what we're going to, get, which is the purpose of us discussing this, because at the end of the day, the most important thing we can do is just stay ready so we don't have to get ready, right? Let's start with the surveillance. Automatic license plate readers can take pictures of the plates and make those sightings searchable. I seen in the news that the lady who was stopped from that Flock system on the highway, guns drawn, because it located her license plate and connected it to a homicide that had already been removed from her vehicle or was supposed to. She currently just lawyered up, so she's planning to sue, I believe, the city of Milwaukee for that wrongdoing, right? So obviously, the Flock systems were created so that they can help investigators locate stolen vehicles, identify vehicles connected to serious crimes, and potentially develop leads in missing person cases, right? I also want to acknowledge that public safety value is first, because a serious conversation has to begin with what the technology can actually do rather than assuming every use is automatically good or automatically bad. The reality is we are living in a day and age where they're going to use technology regardless, right? The Flock system is no different than the iPhones you have. It's no different than the smart TVs that you guys have, that we all have, right? So we know that to some degree, there is no privacy. And anything we do in this country, there is absolutely no privacy whatsoever. The question is, who can access it? What are they doing once they have this information, and how that access is documented, and what happens when somebody uses public resources for a personal reason? Technology itself does not get jealous. It doesn't hold grudges. It does not become curious about an ex. Humans do. So every powerful database needs safeguards built around human behavior. So what I want you to do is imagine your vehicle is captured in one part of the town in the morning, another area in the afternoon, and somewhere else at night. One image might not say much. Enough images can begin to establish a pattern. Now, imagine somebody searching that information even though you aren't suspected for committing a crime. That is where a public safety tool can become a privacy concern, and that's why oversight cannot simply be an afterthought. So here's the question for you all. 833-212-1017. How much privacy are you willing to exchange for safety? How much privacy are you willing to exchange for safety? That is huge, right? That is huge, because we all want to be safe, but we all want privacy as well. So we got to go to break. Stay right there after the break. I want to hear from you. Let's talk about it. But we are also talking about children, phones, algorithms, and attention. Then before 5, I am going to clearly set the table for our main education conversation so nobody misunderstands what we are debating. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Be sure to like and subscribe on our YouTube channel, 101.7 The Truth. Follow your girl on Instagram, The Jazzy Effect. That's THEJAZZIEEFFECT. Before we went to break, we were talking about Trump declaring a national security for the power grid, as well as the topic for today at the 5 o'clock hour. But right now we are going to talk about this matter. Settlement. So apparently Wisconsin is supposed to receive $219 million in this Meta settlement. Meta is the company that owns the social media platforms. I don't know if they own TikTok or not, but I know that they do own Instagram and Facebook. So according to the Wisconsin Politics, Attorney General Josh Call says the state will use its $219 million in funds from the Meta lawsuit settlement for various youth mental health programming efforts, right? The reason why I wanted to read that slowly is because we always get information pertaining to there being some type of disbursement when it comes to the mental health of our youth. If this is something that they say that they are going to do, then we, the people, need to make sure we are a part of this discussion as far as how the funds are spent, because we are with the youth. whether we are teaching them, whether we are raising them, or whether we are in the community. And obviously the conversations we've been having all the time, right? Especially the past couple of weeks when it comes to the mental health state of our babies. It is important that we understand where this money is going. $219 million is a lot of money. It also stated that there's no doubt that this settlement is historic, but it is also my sincere hope that this is an inflection point, Carl said. He added that he hoped other big tech firms and social media companies beyond Meta will hear our message that we are committed to getting accountability from social media companies that engage in conduct that harms our children. A lawsuit filed by 47 states claimed that the Meta platforms, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, knowingly added features to foster social media addiction among children and made false claims about the safety of its products. Now, I know there is a lot of back and forth about who's wrong or who's right when it comes to the access that our children have with social media. A lot of people like to say, obviously, it's up to the parents, right? We do have a part in that. Me personally, I agree. My daughter loves her tablet, right? But I limit the amount of time she's on the tablet. I also am not a fan of Roblox, so I do not allow her to play Roblox or anything like that. But I do think it's important that you talk to your children about the use of social media, not just because of things that's being added for them to be addicted, but because there's a lot that happens. There's predators. That's how a lot of the beef start with, especially these older children as well. So it the parents does have a part in that. But what frustrates me the most is that there's a lawsuit. It's almost like those commercials. It's like those commercials that say, hey, did you take this medicine that the doctor gave you to help you? Well, but it has all of these side effects. Call now. You're entitled to a lawsuit. Well, the medicine shouldn't have been given to us in the first place, right? I was okay without social media. Now, what I will say is, what I do appreciate about it is you get to rekindle relationships. You find people that you haven't seen in so many years and so on and so on. But however, I think we all agree, we all can agree that life was much better prior to social media. So again, it goes back to the point of they continue to feed us poison. And then later on say, hey, basically we'll compensate you for it. The article goes on to say, as a part of the settlement, Meta will also implement a slew of safety features for users between the ages of 13 and 17, including stricter age verification measures, a daily time limit, and additional content restrictions. The entire settlement is $17 billion. And Carl said that the state could receive up to $313 million in settlement funds if the agreements are met with TikTok and YouTube. He also said that the DOJ will spend the next few weeks looking into how the funds can most effectively help kids. So my issue with that is the money is being given to the very system that does absolutely nothing for our babies to begin with. So we have to make sure that the money lands in the right hands. What do I mean by that? We need to have more conversations, not just this specific settlement or the $313 million, but when it comes to money in this state, period. And it's pertaining to how it affects our youth. We need to be involved. If there's people in Madison that can attend these hearings, they need to go. If it's people in Milwaukee that can attend these hearings, they need to go. There needs to be a conversation about how we can utilize these funds, especially for those who are boots on the ground here in the city of Milwaukee doing the work to actually help the youth through their mental health crises, right? We're not talking about just some addiction to social media. We're talking about the fact that these funds can really be utilized for real services. He also said that this could take the form of crisis intervention services, digital literacy counselors, grants to school districts, and after-school programming. So my advice to those who are boots on the ground or people who are into assisting the youth with mental health is, if you don't got your ducks lined up, get them lined up, right? If this is something that you're passionate about, helping the youth with mental health, addiction, all of the above, get your business in order. The way I view this article, if we have $313 million coming into the state of Wisconsin to assist youth with mental health, and they're talking about taking the form of crisis intervention services, digital literacy counselors, grants to school districts, and after-school programming, that means that we Black people, because our babies are affected the most, we have the opportunity to earn some of this income to provide these services. The kind of massive settlement amount, he said, this kind of massive settlement amount, as well as these kind of game-changing changes in how these platforms do their business with respect to the kids who are online, is going to fundamentally change the role that social media plays in kids' life. Additionally, Carr said the DOJ will be responsible for assessing the precise allocation of the fund. So, the Department of Justice, I'm telling you guys this for a reason so we can know who to hold accountable. The Department of Justice is responsible for assessing the precise allocation of the funds. So, they're responsible for dispersing the funds. Once the funds reach Wisconsin, to my knowledge, it's going to go to Carr. Then there's going to be a system where it trickles down. Obviously, it has to be dispersed throughout the entire state. But when you follow the money, you follow the trail. Carr and the legislator have been at odds over settlement funds since Republicans in late 2018 gave lawmakers new oversight over the money through the Joint Finance Committee. The state Supreme Court ruled last month that Carr has the power to deposit uncommitted settlement funds into accounts controlled by the Department of Justice rather than putting that money into the state general fund overseen by lawmakers. Why is that important? Because if he decides to put it in the state general fund that is overseen by lawmakers, there is a chance that we won't see a lot of that money, in which we should, because, again, our children are affected the most by this, right? When we're talking about addiction. And it's crazy that I'm not trying to complain, because we need the funds, right? And yes, not just youth. Adults are addicted to social media as well. But it's crazy how we have all of these funds for addiction to social media, but not addiction to drugs, right? There are so many youth who are addicted to drugs, and there are services. But I truly believe that these funds should not be dedicated specifically to mental health for social media. No, it needs to be broader. It needs to be mental health services overall. And maybe I misread that wrong, but as of right now, it kind of feels like it's just pertaining to that. So again, my call to action with this specific article is for us to get our ducks in the row. If you want to assist youth, or if you already are assisting youth, especially when it comes to mental health, get your LLCs together, get your nonprofits together, and figure out how this money is going to trickle down and who is going to trickle down through. That way we can do the work that we need to do. We have to go to break. But when we come back, we're going to finish this conversation. I am going to set the table for the 5 o'clock hour. I want parents, teachers, grandparents, and even students listening. We are asking whether schools should notify parents before formally teaching non-binary identities or gender-related pronouns. And we are going to define exactly what teaching means before anybody starts going back and forth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.
They're your enemies, but in real life, they eyes is on your money. See, enemies that say they're true, but in real life, they're gonna be snitches. It's a dirty game, y'all. Y'all got to be careful about who you fuck with and who you don't fuck with. Cause it's just shit out, y'all. Keep your mind on your riches, baby. Keep your mind on your riches. 911, it's an emergency. Couch tried to murder me from the hood to the burbs.
101.7 The Truth, it's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. I'm sorry. That is one of my favorite Tupac songs. If you are just now joining us, before we went to break, I was explaining that Wisconsin is supposed to receive $219 million in the Meta lawsuit settlement. And Carr stated that the attorney general stated that this is going to be dispersed throughout the state to assist with mental health, right, for our youth. And I was explaining that we the people, need to make sure that we have all of our ducks lined up in a row so that we can receive some of this funding, since these are our babies and we are currently doing the work. Shout out to the chat. RC says American needs to add onto its $40 trillion debt. Get the reparations taken care of. The harm done to their children, descendants. Just saying. Hey, listen, I don't agree or disagree. I feel you. And shout out to Meat Shed. Them kids come first. Absolutely. The babies come first. Which leads me into, something that is very sensitive, but it's something that I'm okay with talking about because I'm not a politically correct person and it needs to be talked about. The question is, if a school plans to formally teach students what non-binary means or to introduce gender identity concepts or teach pronouns in that context, should parents receive advance notifications? Notice the words formally teach. That means a planned lesson is different from a student asking a spontaneous question, right? This is a curriculum unit. This is something that is different. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe that they were doing this in Chicago. They were doing this in Chicago. And I mean, actually teaching, like the curriculum. So not just, talking about it, not students just asking a question, but they were actually making this a part of the curriculum. And I was at work today. Y'all know I'm gonna keep it real, real people, real conversations. I was at work today at the school, and there was a situation where students were left outside for a certain amount of hours because they were late. And I was advocating for the students to be able to enter into the school, A, because they're on 4th and North, B, because we want them inside of the school, and C, because they kept explaining that their parents had already called, right, and stated that they were late. Some parents did, some parents didn't. Either way, a parent pulled up. And when the way she pulled up, I knew she mean business. And as she was talking to, I was talking to the CEO, and we were having a conversation about it, and he was also standing out there as well just to make sure that the children were safe. She mentioned something that caught my attention. And what she said was, why are y'all teaching our students non-binary pronouns without notifying the parents first? So I asked my students, like, hey, was y'all being taught this in orientation? And they was like, well, we have teachers here who are transgender and wanted to be, called whatever they want to be called. So I think the conversation was just more so telling them to respect that and not to do the opposite, because we know how, youth can be. But obviously the parent was upset. And I have two stance on this as, not two stance, but I have a stance on this because I am a parent, but also an educator. And it brought me to this topic today. I want to hear from the parents. I want to hear from educators. I want to hear from the youth. I want to hear from people who aren't parents. 833-212-1017. If a school plans to formally teach students what non-binary means, introduce gender identity concepts or teach pronouns in that context, should parents receive advance notification? So I also want to separate notification from permission. Those are not the same policies, right? A school can tell a parent, hey, this lesson is coming next week without allowing the parent to remove the child. Another policy could provide both notice and an opt-out. So when somebody says parents have a right to know, I want to ask no only or no and veto. Age is going to matter in this as well. Would your answer be identical for a first grader, a seventh grader, and a high school senior? If not, where does the line change? One reason these debates become so explosive is because people use the phrase children are being taught without saying whether they are talking about 6 years old, 6 year olds, or 17 year olds. So obviously the context matter. My personal opinion, I truly believe that, and this is just for the curriculum across the board, right? When you're talking about something like this, especially because there are certain religions inside of schools, certain belief systems set up as well, and just for the fact that our babies are already exposed to so much in real life through music and social media, there absolutely should be some type of notification sent out to parents regarding something like this. Even if you're not teaching the curriculum, even if there isn't a full curriculum there, right? Now, you don't have to go above and beyond and say, hey, I want to notify you and let you know that we have two transgender teachers in the school, right? Because then that would be, set them apart. And I can imagine it's part of discrimination, whatever the case may be. But if you are going to attempt to bring it up, talk to the students about it in any shape or form, the parents need to be notified. So what scares me the most is the fact that the school system has so much power to where a parent can only question it, but it does not determine whether or not they're going to continue to teach this. That part is the part that I have a problem with. We have a caller on the line. Brandon, are you there?
I am.
Thank you so much for calling. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing well. You have a comment about whether or not this should be taught inside of the school systems or if parents should be notified.
Yeah, I want to be respectful of anybody that does identify as LGBTQ. However, I think it's certainly not something that should be taught in our schools. When you look at the pushback on curriculum that might teach things like the history of slavery or colonialism, I think if we are debating those kinds of concerns, LGBT issues and identity should not be in that discussion, considering I think one is a lot more paramount. I also think when you look at the sheer number of hours children are spending at school, you know, it's akin to about 40 to 50 hours a week. And these kids are not coming out with adequate reading, math, and STEM-related skills. So we're clearly not focusing enough time on things that matter. Mm-hmm. So just on the level, we should not be even considering something like this. We should be doubling down on the skills that are preparing these kids for the future, not something like this.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Brandon, for tapping in with us and giving your take on this. This is something that we talk about in privacy, right? We talk about it in our households. We don't talk about it publicly. Some of us do, but some of us don't because it's such a sensitive subject. But here's my take on it, right? I have a daughter who's a part of that community, and she still identifies as a young lady, my oldest daughter. However, that does not change my outlook on how much exposure should be given to the youth, right? Especially when they are in a household that isn't around, where they aren't familiar with it. Now, everybody can do whatever it is that they want to do. Again, I think the society has become so sensitive to this situation because a lot of people inside of that community, some of them feel as if, like, it's almost as if we don't have rights either. And we do, right? We are parents as well. But the flip side of that is I know a lot of people in that community who agree with this also, who agree with the fact that it's one thing for people to be the way that they are. It's another when you attempt to force something on a child. And when we're talking about force, we're talking about development, right? The developmental stage of a child's mind and how much information they're receiving at what age, right? A lot of our babies aren't able to process certain information early on. They don't understand. And that's where adults come in at. So in the event, this is now, let's just be clear. Working in a school, especially with high school students, you see a lot of this, right? This is more than I've ever seen, even when I was in school, right? And you see it not just with the young men, but with the young ladies as well. And sometimes you don't even know because you'll be surprised. A lot of them aren't flamboyant or anything like that. So it's not like it's a secret in high school. It's not like they aren't able to express themselves or anything like that, right? The issue is simply this. Why aren't you notifying the parents when it comes to this being taught? And not just this subject. That makes me wonder as a parent, right? What else is being discussed? That means that parents should be notified about the curriculum in general at the beginning of the school year. That's my personal opinion. The last time I checked, we don't get notifications about whatever it is that our children are going to be learning for that school year. they feel that a lot of the older children are responsible enough to tell us. That's not always the case. And we know that because some of them don't even do their homework. Where is the communication between the school system and the parents, right? Y'all send notifications out when y'all want y'all senior fees. Y'all send notifications out when, you know, there's a suspension or issues. But what about the curriculum? What about the educational piece? So suppose a history teacher discusses Bayard Rustin and accurately says that Rustin was a homosexual and that his sexuality affected his public role in the civil rights movement. Is that an LGBTQ instruction requiring notification, or is it complete Black history? Suppose a novel includes a non-binary character. Is defining a word so students understand the text the same as a dedicated lesson on gender identity, right? Then there's the other side. Suppose a middle school health class schedules an entire unit specifically explaining sex, gender identity, transgender identity, and non-binary identity. A parent may say, that's not incidental. That's formal instruction on a subject connected to values in my home, and I want to know before it happens. That's a materially different scenario, and we are going to test whether your answer changes that or not. So before we continue this conversation, we have to go to break. When we come back, one final reset before the top of the hour, and then we're going all the way in 5 o'clock. The right to know, what does a school owe a parent when sensitive subjects enter the curriculum? It's your girl Jazz Tyler, 1017 The Truth. One on 1 7, The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. We are 11 minutes away from the 5 o'clock hour. So let me give you the cleanest version of this question that we are going to be discussing this evening. Should schools be required to notify parents before formal classroom instruction about non-binary identities or gender-related pronouns? This is not a referendum on whether people exist. It is a question about curriculum transparency. Not even just about curriculum, you know, anytime that is brought up, right? Is this something that parents should be, you know, notified about? And the reason why I say that is because you can have curriculum and then you can have teachers who are transgender, and whoever the leader is of that school, it is their responsibility to tell the children, hey, this is a situation. We want to respect their decision and we want you to treat them how you treat everybody else, right? That's still a conversation being had. I still believe that parents should be notified. Anytime, right, that you have a situation like this, because we know the immaturity of children, and we also know that families have certain belief systems, et cetera, there should be some type of notification. I'm not saying that you have to put the teachers on blast or single them out, but we still should be notified because, again, not every student is exposed to things of this nature. Not every student is exposed to, you know, the LGBT community or, you know, sex, any of those type of things. So you just want to be careful to be able to make this decision without taking the parents into consideration. I think just truly shows that it's not old school. It's not really about the families or the kids no more. It's about whatever the schools feel like they can or can't do because they are in control. So one thing I want everybody to remember is that the schools serve families who do not share one belief system. So some families are Christian, some are Muslim, some are Jewish, some are atheists, some are politically conservative, some liberal, some don't care about politics at all, right? A school system has to educate children across all differences. So that makes parental rights both important and complicated, because parents are not simply spectators in their children's lives. We're not sitting back just watching, right? We are actually raising our children. And at the same time, the public education system cannot realistically create a completely separate curriculum for every family's worldview. So I want to take the word curriculum out for a minute, because I believe that we all have an understanding that when it comes to our students being taught this, that absolutely we should be notified. But in the event that there is no curriculum and that there are, you know, people who are non-binary who are teaching inside of these schools, and there are conversations being had with students about how they need to behave, how they need to address them, so on and so on. The reason why it's important, A, it goes back to what Meech said. The babies come first, right? Because everybody forgot to ask these children how they feel. Are they comfortable? Are they confused? Do they understand? Do they have the knowledge? Have they been taught this already? You know, do they even know what this means? And I say this because I've been having these conversations with my youth all day about this since this incident happened. And nobody ever asked them how they feel. Nobody ever asked them, is it uncomfortable for them? And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because everybody get their panties in a bunch when we have these conversations. They all automatically assume that we're trying to attack the LGBT community. That is not the case. It is not about grown adults. It's about the children. It's about the children. If you had instructors coming in who are Muslim, right? To a lot of Christians, they may take offense to that. They may feel like they don't want their child being taught by someone who studies a different religion just because their belief system is different. So why can't we have the same conversation when it comes to the LGBT community? And now this is a parent talking, right? This is a parent. If these conversations are going to be had with my child, let alone a curriculum or whatever, yes, I want to be notified in advance. Yes, I want, because I want to protect my child, especially if it's a conversation that I haven't even had the opportunity to talk to them about yet, especially when they are at such a vulnerable age and they don't really understand certain things. And although they are teenagers and they're older, right, they're not slow. We understand that they do, you know these things. But to what extent? Again, not every child is being brought up the same in every household. So the public education cannot realistically create a completely separate curriculum for every family's worldview. So the real work is deciding which decisions belong to parents and which belong to educators and which require some shared standard. So the federal law gives parents important rights involving education records and certain sensitive surveys. But those laws don't magically answer every modern curriculum dispute. That's why states, districts, and courts continue debating the boundaries. When somebody tells you the answer is legally obvious everywhere in America, you need to be cautious. Education law is heavily shaped by state law in specific circumstances. So it all depends on your state. I looked up some stats, and the polling tells us what people think. It does not tell us what is morally or legally correct. So if 54% support an opt-out, that means a majority in that survey supported it. It doesn't mean that the other 40% disappeared, right? Numbers should help us understand the disagreement, not replace the argument. So at 5, we are going to define non-binary in neutral language, then move immediately to the parental notification question. We're going to talk about opt-outs, age, classroom context, and whether teaching that something exists constitutes endorsement. Then we're going into Black history, because complete history sometimes includes people whose identities make modern audiences uncomfortable. I want callers to come with reason, not reactions, not being impulsive. If you say parents should always be notified, tell me what triggers that notification, right? The topic, the age, the teacher's intent. If you say no notification is necessary, then I want to know why as well. That is how you know whether you have a principle or simply a preference. A principle should still make sense when it protects somebody you disagree with. If you want opt-outs for your religious beliefs, what happens when another parent requests an opt-out from Black history because of their beliefs? This is tricky. That's not a negotiation for me. Black history needs to be taught in all schools because we built this country. Period, point blank, Doesn't matter how you sum it up. Doesn't matter how you feel about it. We built this country brick by brick, blood, sweat, and tears, literally. We are the history of this country. There would be no America without Black history. Not February, not 28 days. We're talking year round. So Black history most definitely needs to be taught inside the schools. That shouldn't be an option, because it wasn't an option for us to work. It wasn't an option for us to be slaves. None of that was option. And I'm going to be transparent. You have the option to choose in today's world what it is that you want to be. That, on the other hand, is a choice. And that necessarily is up to, I guess, according to stats, the state, whether or not they want to choose it. But most importantly, if I was in labor, if I carried my child for 9 months and I was in labor for my oldest son, I was in labor for 23 hours. Okay. My oldest daughter, I was in labor for 7 hours. And my youngest daughter, I was in labor for 5 hours. If I've been in labor and I've carried these children, there is no way that you're going to dictate everything when it comes to what my children learn. This is how parents think. This is how I think. And then I think about signing that birth certificate. Once you sign that birth certificate, you are formally handing your child over to the state. We are all state property. Anybody who has a birth certificate is state property. If you have a Social Security card, you are state property. This is why each state believes that when it creates these systems, they can do whatever it is that they want to when it comes to curriculum, when it comes to having conversations, when it comes to teaching our students whatever it is that they want, because we all are state property. That is a harsh reality. Just because we are state property does not mean that us parents should not have a say-so about the information our children receive. Period. There should be some type of, again, notification. So we got to go to break. When we return at 5, I'm opening up the national numbers. And then I'm asking Milwaukee to answer one question without hiding behind politics. What does a parent have a right to know? Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.